Now let's read together, please, tonight from the Word of God, and we're turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and we'll commence in the verse 36. Matthew, chapter 26, and the verse 36. And we read, "Then cometh Jesus with them," that is the disciples, "unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master! And kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And we'll end our reading of God's word at the verse 50, and we know that God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Now, in this portion of scripture that we read together this evening, we have Matthew's account of our Lord praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We have those wonderful words that the Lord Jesus prayed 3 times as he sweat great drops of blood. Not my will, but thy will be done. This is one of the most moving scenes in the whole of the Word of God. And surely every child of God, when he approaches this tremendous scene from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he feels like Moses, the man of God, that he would take off his sandals because we are now standing upon holy ground. We find here also in this portion of the Word of God, not only the Lord Jesus sweating great drops of blood, but we find also that the greatest act of betrayal that ever took place in the history of the world was about now to be done by Judas Iscariot when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. Now we find here that Judas had made a prearrangement with those who were seeking to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem was this: how do you identify the Lord Jesus Christ apart from any other person? Because if you've ever gone to the land of Israel and you've met a group of Jews, especially in the dark, it's very hard to tell one Jew from another very often. They look exactly alike. And so Judas possibly came up with the idea, when we go to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, so that there's no mistake and you arrest the wrong person, I will step forward, I will greet him, and I will give him a kiss upon the cheek, and I will betray him and deliver him by identifying him and handing him over into your hands. Now you can almost see the scene as the Lord Jesus' face is stained with blood. He's a man of sorrows now, acquainted with grief. His soul is sorrowful even unto death. And what a moment it must have been when Judas has stepped out of the darkness into the light there that was being carried by the officers of the temple. And he steps forth and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, "Hail, Master." And then he kisses the Son of God upon the cheek. And if you look there in verse 50, you'll find the response to this evil deed that was carried out by Judas Iscariot. And it's really these words, the last words that the Lord Jesus had for Judas. And it says, "And Judas said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And you could almost feel the heat of these words as they would almost burn like a hot iron into the conscience of Judas as the Lord Jesus looks at him with a blood-stained face as he's about to go to the cross and die for the sin of the world. And he looks at Judas and he says, "Judas, friend, wherefore art thou come?" Now the word "friend" here just isn't the ordinary word for friend. It's the word that is used of a dear, intimate associate, one who has been with you in the journey of life. And the Lord Jesus looks at Judas and he says, "Friend, dear friend, the one who has been with me for 3.5 years, wherefore art thou come? Judas, are you really going to go out and do this evil deed? Are you going to fulfill the evil plan that the devil has put into your heart?" And oh, what a moment it must have been. It must have really shook Judas Iscariot in his sandals where he stood in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord makes his final appeal and he says to Judas, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" These words tonight from the Word of God are the words that I want to leave with you just for a short time, because just as the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ is in this meeting tonight. You see, we have his unfailing promise that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead, and he comes to you tonight as the Savior, and he would say to you in this gospel campaign, "Friend, wherefore hast thou come?" What has brought you to the meeting tonight? Though I trust that you'll be able to give an answer to this question, the right answer, and that you'll be able to go away from this place rejoicing in the God of your salvation. Now, first of all, can I ask you in the light of this question, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Have you come to receive him tonight as your own and personal Savior? You see, the Word of God makes it absolutely clear what a Christian is. We live in an age when there's so much confusion as to what a real New Testament Christianity is. And you can behave today like the devil. You can believe almost anything under the sun and profess to be a Christian. And we have got away from the Word of God and understanding really what a Christian is. Now, when you come to the Word of God, the Bible makes it clear and plain that every man, woman, boy, and girl can understand what a Christian is. A Christian is not just a person who goes to church, or a person who reads the Bible, or a person who lives a good, moral, upright life. But the Bible makes it absolutely clear that a Christian is a man or woman or a boy or girl who can look back to a time in life's experience when they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Listen to the Word of God in John's Gospel, chapter 1. And you remember John speaking of the Jewish rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he came unto his own and his own received him not. That's the bad news. But he gives us the good news. And he tells us what a Christian is. But to as many as receive him, who? The Lord Jesus Christ. To them give he power to become the sons of God. And oh my friend, the Word of God makes it absolutely clear what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who has bowed the knee in faith and repentance and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, I was thinking today of W.P. Nicholson, the great Ulster evangelist, and he was just a young boy and he couldn't wait to get away from home, and he had a godly home, a mum and dad who loved the Lord, but W.P. had no interest in religion. And as a young man, he joined up in the merchant navy and got out into the world, and my, smoking and drinking and all kinds of sin, my, that was a way of life that he indulged in. Then he decided to come home on one occasion. And as he came home, he thought to himself, well, I'll write and let my parents know. He hadn't been home for quite a considerable period. And he made arrangements for his parents to meet him, and he gave them the time and the date. And there was some confusion in the Nicholson home concerning exactly when W.P. was about to arrive. And he got off the train and he looked round and there was nobody there. And he thought to himself, well, I've made such a mess of things by drinking and what I've been doing and the things of the world. They've disowned me. And he decided to go back around by the house and take a look at the home place for the last time. And W.P. made his way round to the house. And in the providence of God, his mother was out and she was hanging out the washing. And as he looked down, his mother looked up and she ran and she dropped what she was doing and she ran and she threw her arms around him and hugged him just the way a mother would. And she welcomed the black sheep of the family back into her arms and into her heart and into her home. Never said a word about his white life and what he had done in the past. And one morning, W.P. Nicholson was sitting at the breakfast table. His mother was making a good old Ulster fry. He was sitting there with a cigarette in one hand and the newspaper in the other, catching up on the local news. And as he was sitting there, suddenly a voice from heaven said, "It's now or never. Either you get saved now or you'll never be saved." God spoke to his heart. And sitting there at the breakfast table, W.P. Nicholson said, "Lord Jesus, I yield. Come into my heart and be my Savior." And with a cigarette in his hand, he looked at his dear mother. And he says, "Mother, I've got saved." And she looked at him and she was startled. And she said, "When?" He said, "Just there now. God spoke to me and I've received Christ as my Savior." And my, what rejoicing in the home. But what I'm saying is this, suddenly, unexpectedly, it all happened in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. He passed from death unto life, and he entered into the blessing of God's wonderful salvation. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to receive him? Just like W.P. Nicholson is a young man who thought life was over, he had made a mess of it all. But the moment he came to Christ, became a partaker of the divine nature, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the rest is history. Hard that he went on to leave his mark upon this province of ours. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Tell me tonight, have you come to receive him? Thank God, if you're prepared to receive him, he'll receive you. For he says in his word, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Let me ask you another question tonight. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to reclaim him? Maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight, and it's always a possibility in a mission like this that there's someone, and yes, there was a time when you run well and you loved the Lord and you were a bright Christian and you're like the believers in the church of Galatia. And you remember Paul wrote to them and he said, ye did run well, but who did hinder you? And somehow you were knocked or elbowed out of the race. And tonight find you like Simon Peter. You're following afar off at a distance from Christ. And you're no longer the child of God that you were. And you find yourself in a backslidden condition at a distance from the Lord. You know, when you read that lovely story in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, we have the story of the Lord Jesus as a young boy of 12 years of age, along with Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his earthly father, and going to the temple at Jerusalem. And you remember supposing him to be in the company. My, they left Jerusalem and they went on their journey home. And at the end of the day, when the camp was set up and the meal was being made, and Mary looked for Jesus, and she suddenly discovered that Jesus is not here. And she turns to Joseph, and where's Jesus? And Joseph says, I thought he was you, with you. And Mary says, I thought he was with you. You see, what happened was when people were traveling home, the women would travel together and they would talk. Nothing new about that. And the men would gather together and they would talk politics and other affairs that interested men. And as they were journeying home, Joseph thought that Jesus was with Mary, his mother, and Mary thought somehow that he's with Joseph, his father. And supposing him to be in the company, they journeyed home and they left him behind. And you remember how that when they found him in the temple, that Mary looks to her son and she says, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And you know, those were the three longest, darkest, most miserable days that Mary and Joseph ever spent in her life, when they had to retrace the steps and they had to look for the Lord Jesus Christ when they were conscious that he was no longer with them. You see that word sorrowing, behold thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. That word that means intense pain and grief. And in Luke chapter 16 it's used again of the rich man in hell. And you remember how he cried out, I am tormented in this flame. And let me tell you tonight, if you've been truly saved, you've been spoilt for the world. And the nearest thing to hell for a believer is to be backslidden and to lose the conscious presence of Christ. And to have lost the joy of communion and fellowship with the Savior. But you know, Mary and Joseph were able to retrace their steps and they found the Savior in the house of God as he was about his Father's business. You know, Ulster today is full of people just like Mary and Joseph, and tonight finds them in a backslidden condition away from the Lord. I'll never forget on one occasion being sent to go to the hospital, and it was a mental hospital to see a dear woman, a Christian lady. She was a widow. And I went along to the hospital to see her, and I went in and she was under lock and key with other patients, and I couldn't understand it. And when I got to her, she didn't even know I was there, and she was mentally disarranged, and she was pulling at her cheeks and her hair. And she just was absolutely miserable. And it just seemed that the devil had come in like a flood into her life. And I sat down with her and I prayed. And I said, Lord, I don't know what has happened, but something's happened, Lord. And just cover this dear woman by the power of the precious blood and bring deliverance to her heart. And I just kept on going back to the hospital and sitting with her and reading and praying with her and talking to her the best I could. And gradually she began to have treatment and come round a little bit. She looked at me with eyes that were demented. And she said to me, Mr. Barnes, God has given me up. God wants nothing more to do with me. And I said to her, why, dear, what would ever put that into your mind that God has forsaken you? God has abandoned you. What has put that in your mind? And this lady told her that she fell into sin just the once. I don't need to go into details. But it was a sad lapse in her life. And she couldn't forgive herself. And she thought God couldn't forgive her. And it just drove her out of her mind. And like David, my, she was felt like her body was broken. Every bone in her body and in her mind was broken. And she was miserable and totally miserable, separated from God and no longer enjoying the Lord's presence. And she opened up and I opened up God's Word. And I said, dear, dear, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1 and let me tell you what the Lord says. And the Lord is writing to His people, and He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I said, dear, if you're willing to acknowledge it as sin, then the Lord says His blood will cleanse you from all sin. There's forgiveness for the child of God. And sitting in that mental ward in such a distressed state, she sobbed her way back to the middle cross of Calvary. She retraced her steps and she got back to the cross. And friend, just as the burden rolled away from the back of Pilgrim and the immortal story of Pilgrim's Progress, I could see the burden of sin and depression rolling away. You see, the problem was not physical or mental. It was spiritual. And the only answer to her problem was the precious blood of Christ. And maybe there's someone here tonight and you're the most miserable person in God's earth. And you need to come like David and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Friend, wherefore art Thou come? Have you come to reclaim Him tonight, to start afresh for the Lord, a Jesus Christ? Thank God, because of the blood, failure is not final for the child of God. Friend, wherefore art Thou come? Let me ask you tonight, have you come to release Him? Have you come to release Him? Do you remember in this chapter and portion of the Word of God, and it goes on to give us the story of Pontius Pilate in the next chapter, and how that Pontius Pilate had to conduct the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look there in Matthew 26 and verse 17, Pontius Pilate is face to face with a crowd, and there's no way out, and he's got to decide what he's going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Matthew 27 and the verse 17, therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? And oh my dear friend, as you read down in this chapter, you'll find that it says again there in verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And Pilate, my, when he was face to face with Christ, he couldn't make the decision for himself. But he let the decision, the crowd, the ungodly rabble, make the decision. And in unison they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pontius Pilate released Jesus onto the crowd, and he damned his own soul in the doing so. And let me tell you tonight, friend, wherefore art thou come? And maybe God is speaking to your heart, and you know tonight, I need to be saved, I need to get right with God. I'm not here by chance. God has planned and purposed for me to be here tonight to meet with Christ. What are you going to do with Christ? Are you going to release him to the crowd like Pilate and let somebody else make the decision? And if you're waiting to a time when it's popular to receive Christ and the crowd will be on your side, I tell you, friend, you'll wait till a lost eternity. It's never popular. Let me tell you tonight, friend, if Jesus Christ in person was to come to the center of Coleraine, the crowd would still cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" You going to release him tonight? Hand him over to the crowd? You know, the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. And that's what was wrong with Pilate. That was the fear of man. And what man said, "Oh, if you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend. You'll be in trouble with Caesar." Been far better to be in trouble with Caesar than to do what he did and to lose his soul for all eternity. Maybe there's someone here tonight in the meeting, some young person, and you know tonight that you ought to be saved, and God has been speaking to your heart. And what holding you back is that you've just let the crowd make the decision. I want to tell you, friend, any old dead fish can swim with a stream, but it takes a real man or woman or young person with conviction to step out of the crowd and to say, "Christ for me. Christ for me." Friend, wherefore art thou come? Are you going to release him tonight? Going to turn your back? Go with the crowd that disowns and denies the kingship and the lordship of the Savior. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Maybe tonight the Lord finally would just say to you tonight, friend, wherefore art thou come? Have you come to resell him? Have you come to resell him? Listen to the words of Jesus as it zooms in upon the heart of Judas, and the Lord looks with eyes of fire into his soul, and he says, "Judas, friend, wherefore art thou come? Judas, are you really going to sell me for the pieces of silver, the price of a common slave? Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And oh, dear friend, make no mistake about it. It's possible for you to stand in the sandals of Judas Iscariot and commit the same sin against the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think of a woman in the city of Belfast. She was a very wealthy, prosperous businesswoman. And one night after a great evangelistic campaign, she was really moved. She was concerned about getting saved. And she stayed behind to speak to the preacher. And she said, "Preacher, I'd like to ask you something, and it's this." She said, "I'm a very well-to-do business lady here in Belfast. And you know, I'm making a lot of money. And I don't make it all properly. And tell me, if I get saved, will I have to do things properly as far as making money's concerned?" And of course, honesty is not only the best policy, but it's the only policy for a Christian. And the Christian, the evangelist, looked at her and he began to put on the pressure. And he said, dear, he says, "You're just like Judas Iscariot. And you've got to make a decision between the silver and the Savior. On the one hand, there's the silver. There's the business. On the other hand, there's the Savior and the blood that He shed for you on the cross. And you've got to make your decision whether it's the silver or the Savior." And this businesswoman in Belfast looked at the evangelist and she said, if I must choose, I'll choose the silver. And she turned on her heel and she went out of the meeting. Do you know what the Bible says concerning Judas Iscariot in Matthew 26 and the verse 24? And the Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And as Jesus looked at the end result of the life of Judas, because Judas came back, he never enjoyed the pieces of silver. He realized he betrayed the innocent blood, and he wanted to undo what he did. And the chief priest and the scribe said, what is that to us? And he threw it down in the temple. And the result was he went out. And the Word of God tells us in the book of Acts chapter 1, how that he went out and he hung himself. And he died a suicide's death. And the Bible says that he went to his own place. Not the place that Jesus had gone to prepare for them that love him, but the place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. And as the Lord Jesus with prophetic vision followed the footsteps of Judas and saw him going over the cliff, taking his life, and going down and his body smashing upon the rocks, the Lord Jesus could see his soul as it hit the ground, and left the body and went out into a Christless eternity. And even to this moment, the soul of Judas is reserved in chains of darkness and hell, awaiting the great judgment day. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Tell me, have you come to resell the Lord Jesus Christ? What price have you put upon the Savior's head? I want to tell you tonight, over the years I've known men, and they put the cigarette, the dirty old weed, before the Savior. I would get saved, Mr. Barnes, but you see that? I can't give it up. And they've sold the Savior for the weed. And there's others, and they've sold a Savior for the price of a pint on Saturday night. And I wonder what price you're going to put upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Friend, wherefore art thou come? The Lord Jesus, and with this I close, he says, behold, behold. And when you find that word behold, there's something of great importance the Lord wants to say to you. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And what the Lord is saying, friend, wherefore art thou come? And I'm knocking at your heart's door. And tonight I want to come in, and I want to be your Savior and Lord. And you know, it's possible that you could have come into this meeting without Christ, and you can go home tonight with Christ, knowing of a truth that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you're the recipient of God's grace, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen again. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Oh, may God help you to come tonight, make the right decision, and receive Jesus as your Savior. May the Lord bless His precious Word. And it's those lovely words of